Hello, everybody, and welcome back to We Speak Dispatch. May is Mental Health Awareness. And here at We Speak Dispatch, we decided we wanted to touch on this subject. You've seen Leslie before and Doug. They're joining us again. But we also have a special guest with us today. Glenna, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Glenna. I am a public safety dispatcher. Been in the field for about 23 years. And I work for an agency in Southern California.
Okay, and Glenna, can you go ahead and just tell us why we decided to bring you on for the topic of Mental Health Awareness Month?
Because I'm crazy, so. Just kidding. I am the peer support coordinator for my agency, so I run the program throughout the agency, and I help start it and get it going.
Okay, that's awesome. We're definitely going to be touching on that throughout the course of today's topic. And today's topic is a little more serious, but again, we're just going to try to keep it lighthearted. So I'm going to engage the audience members here for the first time. We're going to do a kind of a silent engagement here. So
Interesting.
Especially with this group. By a show of hands from our panelists, who works or used to work at an agency where there was a peer-to-peer support team for 911 dispatchers? All right. That's all of us. That's really good. If I would have asked the question from my past agency, I would not have been able to raise my hand because we did not have one. So I have to kind of raise a hand and not raise a hand, but on camera, that's a little tough to do. All right. So I'm going to throw the first question up to Doug. Doug, what makes up a peer support team and why is it needed for 911 dispatchers?
Well, of course you come to me, and I worked for an agency that just within the last couple of years has actually made it a big thing to have peer support for dispatch. Before, it was only for uniform members. And so really for us, it's more of, I think it's important to have peer support because you need that kind of a vent to kind of vent to people and have somebody you can trust and tell them what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Good. And Glenna, what do you think?
Well, he's correct. He's 100% correct.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Shocking. That hardly ever happens.
I know, right? Wow. It's so vital, especially for 911 dispatchers. There's very little difference between sworn staff and 911 dispatchers in regards to the physical effects during a critical incident. We still get the adrenaline dump. We still have the physical symptoms of what a critical incident does to a human. The same as an officer. No, we're not getting shot at. No, we're not going into a burning building. However, we are sitting there and we are connected with whatever it is that's going on. And so it's very important that however they're going to process the information, that the 911 dispatcher is able to process the information and process the trauma the same way. And so that's why it needs to be specific for 911. The agency where I work at, it's one peer support team, but we certainly recognize that the 911 dispatchers and as well as sworn staff need to have the same debriefings and et cetera, et cetera. We even go so far as to, we do certain things for our records community or anybody that's involved in the department that feels the effects of the trauma. For 911 dispatchers, our 911 dispatchers and the team as well.
Yeah. Leslie, I'm going to throw a question to you. You're a supervisor, correct?
I am.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So your question's a little bit different. Should a supervisor or manager or director or leader, anybody in a supervisory type position, be a member of the peer support team for the 911 dispatchers that they supervise?
Wow. That's a heavy question.
That is a really good question. And I've had conversation with people about that very topic because, you know, as somebody who would want to be a part of that, because I care about how people are reacting to stress in the workplace, I also recognize that as a supervisor, there may be less of an inclination for people to be honest with me, especially if they are from my own center.
Yeah.
Because I am a part of their chain of command. I think supervisors can be a part of the peer support group, maybe in a different function, or to recognize that while there's stress at the line level, there's stress at the supervisor level. Yeah. And so perhaps that's where a supervisor can be a part of the process So maybe I can reach out a hand to someone who's now dealing with secondary or tertiary stress mm-hmm. because of their role in the organization. But yeah. I mean, that's a great point. What do you think, Joe? What's your input?
I think that the exact same thing that you said. It's a very tough question. I also think that you're going to get more honest feedback from the answers if the supervisor maybe isn't involved. But I always believe in understanding the roles and that they should be, the supervisor should be a person that your people can come to and talk right. to about major events. And you want to know about them. And if we have some training in what to do and how to respond to that, that's going to make us a better leader.
Agreed.
So whether or not we're involved in the exact peer support team, maybe or maybe not, it could go both ways, but at mm-hmm. least make sure you're getting some training on peer support teams and educating yourself so that you make good decisions as a leader of your 911 center when the right. time comes.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, to your point, Joe, I think that does give supervisors an opportunity to make sure that whatever the peer support team needs mm-hmm. for maybe a line level person, that yeah. you as a supervisor can make sure and facilitate that gets done. So whatever tools they need, if time off is needed, scheduling adjustments, absolutely. And I yeah. think that's vital to have in that hierarchy of a peer support group.
Yeah, and I want to get Doug's answer on the supervisor thing too, and Glenna's. I think it's a really important question to really hammer home. So Doug, what do you think?
Yeah.
You know, I think it creates a whole different animal when you're talking about a supervisor involvement, because like you said, it's nice to come line level with that person. But mm-hmm. I will tell you, I've been involved in a few things that are major, and I had to be involved. I didn't want to be involved because I'm not peer support, but I had to be involved only because of my role as a supervisor, and I had to do it. And I wish they would provide training to all people about this mm-hmm. instead of just mm-hmm. a team. To give it to everybody so we kind of, if we happen to fall into this thing, we're ready.
Yeah. Right. Agreed.
Okay. Glenna, what do you think?
A little bit different perspective. It falls upon the supervisor itself. They have to have integrity. They have to have trust with their employees. There has to already be a high level of confidentiality. Personally, and I was thinking about this as you guys are talking, I probably go to my supervisor with peer support related issues for myself more than I do anybody else, just because mm-hmm. we've worked together 23 years. She's somebody I trust. She's somebody I can go to very easily. So there is definitely a role for supervision in peer support, as long as you have the makeup of a person that should be good for peer support.
Yeah.
I think in smaller agencies, it's easier to do. Larger agencies, you don't tend to get that relationship going with your supervisory staff as mm-hmm. much as you would in a smaller agency. But mm-hmm. I think there's definitely a place for it. And also, like Doug said, and like Leslie said, time off guidelines, being that advocate for the peer support and for the affected employee, that's just invaluable. If you have mm-hmm. that kind of support, then you've got a very successful program. If you don't have that kind of support, you have to deal with a lot of stuff. Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about once a major incident happens, who notifies the peer support team and what kicks it off? And then from a dispatch perspective, who approves the overtime and how do you change schedules? And just the whole gauntlet of really running the 911 center after a major incident. Mm-hmm. Where does it start and how does the peer support team get notified? Go ahead, Leslie.
Yeah. I just want to say, regardless of if you've got a formalized program, if you don't have a formalized program, if you're thinking about starting your program, that's awesome. Please, if nothing else, and I don't know, and I'm sure we've all had the situation where a major event like you're talking about, Joe, has happened, and you go to that channel one dispatcher, that primary radio dispatcher, or the person who handled the phone call, and you go up to them and you say, hey, that was really hairy. How are you doing? And their answer is always going to be what?
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah. I'm fine.
I'm good.
Everything's fine. And I think, and I'll circle back to what you said, Joe, but I think we all as a profession, and I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, we all as a profession need to recognize that fine is not fine. And it's okay to say, hey, you know what? I do need a break. I do need to go walk around. I do need to take 5 minutes or reach out to the peer counselors or something like that. So At my agency, there is a policy that if you are involved in, and involved in is either out in the field dealing with the incident firsthand, or in the center where there's been a major injury or death, especially of somebody from your agency, it's an automatic.
Yeah.
We don't give anybody the opportunity to say, oh no, it's great. It's automatic. So there's time off the floor. There's debrief. There's at least one, potentially 3 days off, depending on the level of the event. So we've kind of mitigated that hesitancy for people to say, no, I don't need that, by just making it a part of, hey, sorry, you don't get a choice.
Yeah. Excellent. Doug, what do you think of that?
That would be great. when I was working for a large agency, that would be really a great thing to have had.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it didn't work like that, because you would have people, the peer support teams, concentrating on the line level dispatchers on the floor who are going through this thing. But if you as a supervisor are experiencing the same kinds of things, you're kind of left out. Like, they're all out there doing their thing, and it's like you're kind of being like told, make the schedule, make the changes, do all these things. And you're like, I'm going through a lot just like they are, because
right.
they kind of are working yeah. in the same place. And I think sometimes that gets forgotten. And I've had that happen where higher ups have told me, like, just start handling these things, doing this stuff. We got to mm-hmm. get this stuff. And I'm like, so we in the supervisor office get basically nothing. And yeah. that's not good after a long time.
No.
And Glenna, how does it get kicked off at your agency?
There's some type of chain of command notification for any critical incident. There is anyway, but within that chain of command, we have a lieutenant that oversees the program. And so he's notified of the critical incident anyway, and he'll usually reach out to me and say, okay, get the ball rolling. And for whatever it is, we have certain protocol for an officer involved shooting or a line of duty death, or we've had some pretty significant incidents. So we've had a suicide. We had some criminal behavior that occurred that we needed to really address within our department. So that's normally how it's kicked off. And then we set the protocol there. There's not any one specific person. If they were to leave me out of the loop, people know how to get a hold of our EAP. We get counselors that come into the station at a moment's notice.
Yep.
People know how to get a hold of any of the chaplains, of any of the peer support staff. So it doesn't necessarily have to be me, and I don't have that ego where it must be me, and that's just part of your being part of the team.
Yep.
But what I do want to speak to, I want to speak to what Doug had said, and I know Doug and Leslie, you're both supervisors as well as Joe. He's very correct in that sometimes they're left out because they are the leaders. So when you're leading something like that, you're like the mother hen, so to speak, and you're gathering all your ducks and you're making sure they're okay. But then who's making sure you're okay? So what we do at our agency is every peer support team member has to have we call it an accountability partner, but really they have to have somebody that they can go to.
Nice.
And we take time each year, the last 3 months of each year, we take time to remind them and to go over exercises where you need to remember to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We're all caregivers, officers, firefighters, EMS, dispatchers, we're all caregivers. But in this role, you're a caregiver of the caregiver. And so it's very important that if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. So
right.
speaking to what Doug said about the supervisor, it's incumbent upon the supervisor to make sure that they are taking care of themselves. And if they need a peer support team member, if they need the EAP, the counseling services that come with it, they need to be aware of it enough that they need to reach out, even if nobody's being their advocate.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to ask two more questions, and they're really short answers as we're getting close here on time.
Okay.
But the first question is just a yes or a no. Do you believe that when a major incident happens at your agency, that the 911 dispatchers should be included with the first responders, the police and the firefighters and the paramedics, during the same debriefing, or should they be separated?
Together.
Yes and yes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty easy
absolutely
answer.
And together.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other question I have is, I read an article from the Mental Health of America website. They published an article from the Defense Centers of Excellence for Psychological Health and Traumatic Brain Injury, and they listed some key ingredients that make up peer support teams. And they studied, I believe it was 13 or 14 different peer support type teams, whether it's a 50 some page article, and you get some great information from that article. Mm-hmm. But one of the things they listed was the key ingredients to all peer support teams that make it up. So in 1 to 2 words, what's a key ingredient, Leslie, that you think makes up a peer support team?
I would say trust. I think it's been hit on here several times. You've got to be able to trust who's involved.
Yep. Glenna?
Confidentiality.
Yep. That's another
definitely
one.
Very important.
Doug?
God, I hope I make the list. like knowledgeable. You have to be knowledgeable on how to handle that situation. Is that on the list?
Relevant knowledge, Doug. Not just knowledgeable, but having relevant knowledge is on the list. And lastly, the last one is that we are here to provide social support to make sure that we're there for the 911 dispatchers that are going through it. And like I said, that was a great article, and this was a great discussion. I think it's just the tip of the iceberg on mental health awareness and peer support teams in 911 centers. And 911's only been around for just over 50 years, and we're starting to see the ramifications from that, and we're starting to learn more. So really dive in to mental health awareness teams and peer support teams and make sure that you're there for your 911 dispatchers. With that being said, go ahead.
Joe, could you put that link for that article in the feed?
So yes.
Perfect.
Yes, great. Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Once it's posted, we will put that link for that PDF up so people can read and everything else. And like I said, thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching We Speak Dispatch. If you could, share our videos, comment on it, like our pages. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, and we're also on YouTube at We Speak Dispatch. And we're going to be coming to you periodically with 911 Dispatch topics. If you want to see a topic discussed by all of us, make sure you leave it in the comments down below and go and like our page. Thanks, everybody, and you have a great night.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.